Let me invite you over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, verse 8. Gospel of Luke chapter 24, verse 8.
Luke 24, 8 simply reads this way. It says, "And they remembered his words." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we ask for your blessing. We pray, Lord, that you would guide our hearts and minds with your Holy Spirit, that we might hear from you. And Lord, that you again would be exalted and highly lifted up in our hearts and in our lives, that we might be the light and the salt you've called us to be, and that souls would be saved and discipled and baptized for your honor and glory. And so tonight, Lord, we pray your blessing on your word, and we'll give you all the praise and the thanks, for we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Two thoughts tonight as we consider, really, the title of the message tonight is "The Continuing Power of the Resurrection." The continuing power of the resurrection. And so the continuing power of the resurrection that God wants us to take note of and to realize in our own life is his work that he's doing on our behalf for his honor and glory. And we'll see how that transpires here tonight. So what we're going to look at are two thoughts tonight, and that is a seeking, a finding, and a telling. And then the second thought's going to be a following of the great shepherd. Sometimes people make it, oh, well, that's simple. This is all you do. You just do what he said to do and don't do the things he said not to do. But there's a little bit more involved in that. And the best part or the best component that's involved in that is God himself through the working and power of his Holy Spirit. And I think you'll see how this takes place. So let's look at verse 1 here as we consider a seeking and a finding and a telling. So notice verse 1 says this, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher bringing spices which they had prepared and certain others with them." So now they're coming, they're looking for the Lord. Now in their minds, they're coming to prepare the body and anoint the body with spices of a dead Savior. Let me ask you a question. What do you think was running through their minds? This was supposed to be the Savior of the world, and they did not comprehend the truth that he had to go through this process here of offering himself, of his blood being spilled on our behalf, and the righteousness could be imparted, and then on the third day he would rise again. Do you think they may have questioned? I didn't say they believed this, but do you think it is possible that one or more of the disciples may have thought, did we get this wrong? Have we misunderstood something here? Was this not the Savior? And then I'm convinced that, yes, because of what they'd seen in the Lord, they probably had to come to this conclusion, he had to be the Lord. It is the Lord. But for whatever reason, it's not computing, it's not factoring out in their understanding of what was taking place. And this is important because this can happen in your life. Let me ask you this question. Can anything happen in your life that would cause you to believe that Jesus Christ is not your Savior? I don't think there is. I think you can maybe come to the place where you might think, Lord, where are you? Lord, I've got a problem. Are you not hearing me? Have you forgotten me? And we know that the Lord doesn't do that. He doesn't forget us. He always holds us in his hands. And so keep that thought in mind as they're going through these motions. I believe they're driven to do these things. I believe the Lord is working. They may not be sensitive to the Lord's working because of the grief, the sorrow, and the misunderstanding that has taken place in their lives. God never faltered from his plan, did he? But yet in the life of the disciples here, they were, to say the least, they were confused about some things. Does God want us to live in a state of confusion? Absolutely not. Does he want us to walk in the light of his truth? Absolutely. Will there be times that we don't understand things? In every disciple's life, You think of Paul. He says, we even despaired of life. Paul said that. Abraham, did he ever despair? Yeah, did he get things confused and wrong? But look at the grace of God working with every every child of God to bring them back into the right understanding. So he does that in our lives, and we'll see that here in the lives of these disciples. So they prepared these spices. Verse 2 says this, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. Now there's some more questions because it was sealed up. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, so they're fearing now. Listen, this is the Spirit of God that's working. And yet, because they're confused, because their hearts are filled with fear, but the Lord is looking to remedy that. Even when the Lord appeared before the disciples, they feared. But what was the Lord's work? He was going to bring them peace. Hey, fear not. It's I, right? So here they are. They find this stone rolled away. And then it says in verse, let's read verse 2 again. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, so they're perplexed, much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, these are the two angels here, why seek ye the living among the dead? That's a good question, isn't it? Why seek ye the living among the dead? The truth of the matter is, had they been yielded to the Lord, listen, this is, I am not faulting these disciples. I am not telling you that we could come to this in 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, and never come to these places where we are perplexed. But there is a leading that God gives to his disciples. He's asking this question as, why are you doing this? And it ought to dawn on them. And the reason is because the Lord told them on the third day, and it's now the third day, that he is not going to be in the sepulcher. The Lord has given you and I his word. And there are some things that we question that God has already answered in his word. The problem is we approach some things concerning the word of God with our natural mind. That's a battle. We all do that. We all have the tendency, and we have to be reminded, oh Lord, I need you to help me understand what's happening here. And walk in that peace to where we say, Lord, I'm going to look to your word and what it's promised me. Because it never fails. Is that true? The word of God never fails. And so as we consider this here, he asks this question, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. He said that to them more than once. But here's the difference, ready? The grace of God, the power of the resurrection opened up their hearts and understanding. And here's what it says in verse 8. And they remembered his words in a different way now. And listen, I don't think they ever came to the place where they did not believe after this time that the Lord had risen again. They were now convinced. Do you think they left that day different than when they came there? Do you think they left a little bit differently? Do you think their hearts were rejoicing now? They came with sorrowful hearts. They were perplexed, the Bible says. So that was a seeking. Look what they found. They found the truth. Listen, whenever our world is upside down, it is always a good thing to seek the Lord. It's always a good thing to seek the Lord. And so they were seeking the Lord. So here's the seeking, and that we saw what they found, and now there's a telling that's taking place here. Look at verse 9, and here's what it says, and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. Now, how do you think they told them about that? Well, you see, fellas, we went out to that sepulcher, and let me see if I can remember what happened. You think that's what they did? Or do you think they had excitement about what was going on? Let me tell you what the Lord has done. You know what that is? Listen, that is the witness of God. Amen. You know what God wants to do in your life and mine? He wants to give us the witness of God. Listen, I want you to understand, so we're on the same page here, okay? I am not any different than you. I have the privilege, it really is the privilege, of God giving me His Word, and I get to share it with you. But I want you to know, listen, are you following me? Remember I told you this in the past. When Moses got to the Red Sea, he, by faith, was trusting that God was going to part it because God was telling him what to do. But remember, he had never seen it part before. Do you not think he was in awe just like with everybody else? So this works on the behalf of all of God's people. It's coming to this place to where we see and understand, and that's what brings the witness of God. Let me tell you what God just showed me through his word, what wonderful promise he's given for us to enjoy. For us not to be blind like the world and not to walk like the world and not to have the peace or the joy of the world, but the joy and the peace of God. And again, remember how that works. It's not happiness, it's joy. Happiness is based on a feeling. They come and go. Feelings come and go, right? And really, praise the Lord for some of them, because some of the feelings aren't so good, right? So they come and they go. But joy that's founded on the Word of God solidifies our faith because that never changes. We may not feel happy, but we can still have the joy. We can go through a real difficult situation, and it's not that tears can't be shed, and that's all right. God made us that way. But deep down in the recesses of our heart, God, because of the grace of God, we know that we're in His hands. All right, so watch this. So they're telling the disciples, they're excited about what's going on. And so here it is. They return, they tell to all the rest, verse 10, and it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And what did the apostles do? They got all excited, didn't they? They were rejoicing. No, look what it says here. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Do you think, listen, can it possibly be? Now were these disciples that they went back to? And in fact, listen, you got to grasp this. Let's slow this down a little bit here, just for a moment. Who were they? Who were these ladies coming back to tell this good news to? Who was it? The apostles. The apostles. So do you think maybe the preacher gets a message and shares it? If the apostles can think, well, that's a fairy tale. These are idle tales. You know, there's something wrong here. Is it possible that can happen to God's people? Wait. Is it possible that even the preacher might miss it? Oh, yeah. It's quite possible. Listen, may I tell you this? It's been right in front of my face for the last 30 years of my salvation. But we get to enjoy it now. And listen, let's not, I wish I could have had this 30 years ago. Sometimes I even said this, I wish I could have gotten saved at a younger day, young in my life, a younger age. I wish I could have got saved as a preteen. But you know what? Listen, God had everything under control. And there were people that I was supposed to meet along the way, and there were friendships that I was supposed to develop that I might have a heart for them to pray for them. And I do. I pray for my friends that I grew up with that are lost. And so here are these apostles, and believe it or not, the apostles said that these things that were told, they thought, look at the bottom of verse 10, that were with them, which told these things unto the, what? Apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre. What was that made Peter get up and go? It's the grace of God. It's the power of the resurrection. It's the Spirit of God that causes to search out a matter. And when he does that, listen, may we thank the Lord for doing that, because we would not do that on our own. And so here he is, he rises up, he goes to the sepulcher, and stooping down, notice, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. He was on a happier note. He didn't know, I don't know how convinced he was at this particular time, but he's moving closer to the truth, to say the least. All right. So this is the seeking, the finding, and a telling. And now I want you to see a following of the great shepherd. And this is applicable to your life and mine. So verse 13, and behold, two of them went the same day that all these events took place. This is the third day, unto a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all those things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now you got to get this. They really don't know what happened to the Lord. But Jesus is right there. Isn't that good? God is right there. In the midst of their confusion. Now the good thing is that they're reasoning and they're talking about these things. That's a good thing. It's always a good thing to get involved with the Word of God. And so Jesus is walking with them in verse 16. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. This was on purpose. Why? Because believe it or not, God has a plan and a purpose for everything that's in our lives. And he will reveal it in his time. One day he's going to give us the best revelation we've ever had when we look into his eyes. What will it be then? Listen, when you look into the Savior's eyes, all will be fulfilled, won't it? And where will it be fulfilled? In Christ. And we'll all just, I don't know what, gasp, be in awe. Is this real? We'll know it's real. We're really here? Isn't that something? And he said unto them, verse 17, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? God's trying to get them to open up. Do you know why? God wants you to bring him all your troubles, every one of them. That's how they're resolved. That's how God brings in the word. Well, Lord, here's my problem. And he can bring in the word and let us understand the truth. Okay, so here they are. And notice verse 18, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Isn't that funny? And hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? He knew better than anybody else. He had the inside story, didn't he? And he said unto them, what things? Well, isn't that something? What is God doing? Tell me about what's on your mind. And he knew exactly, but he was wanting them to open up to them. And so he says, what things? And verse 19 again, and they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed in word before God and all the people. That was embedded in their hearts and minds. I'm convinced they were convinced of who the Lord was. He was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted. It's not necessarily that they stopped trusting. They're just confused now because he's in the grave. But they're saying, we trusted it was him, that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Do you think when the Lord reveals himself, do you think, oh yeah, the third day. it was today. Listen, you and I would look at all the times that Jesus had told them that he was going to be crucified and the third day rise again. And you and I would say, why didn't they know that? Well, let me give you my deep theological answer to that. I don't know. I really don't know. But I do know this. There are things I don't understand. But I do know the one who holds everything in his hands. And when I bring them to him, he satisfies my heart like nobody else can. And so when we consider this, he says to them, okay, so we thought it was him. This is the third day, verse 22. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre when they had found not his body. So they were here, they were part of this group. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. They were in that group with the apostles. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, Peter and John, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ or Messiah have to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Read Isaiah 52. That is the forbidden chapter in the Jewish nation. Don't read that one. You know why? Because it shows the Lord. I cannot tell you how many testimonies I have seen. All right? This is one thing YouTube is good for. It's a couple other things. But this is one good thing. One for Israel. Look up that channel. These are Jewish people who've come to know the Savior. And somebody pointed that out and was reading that to me. And he said, this is the thought. How did Jesus get in my Bible? Because Jesus wrote your Bible. Because Jesus is the Word. Amen? And he come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. Right there, right in front of our faces. Oh, we need the Lord. So, he says, hey, this is the way that it was supposed to be. Again, verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whether they went, and they made as though they would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. I think if it was in the morning, hey, listen, it's breakfast time, come on in. Or if it's lunchtime, come on in. They just simply wanted the Lord to come and stay. And you know, that ought to be the desire of every child of God. Lord, I want you to come and stay with me, not just on Sunday, but I need you on Monday, and I need you on Tuesday. I want you to come in, because the Lord is in the business of giving revelations of himself if we'll seek it, that will transform and change our hearts and our lives. So, verse 30, and it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. He did it in their house. And they were glad of it. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Wow. Wow. Do you think their lives were ever the same? God wants to give you and I experiences of his grace and his revelations that will not leave us the same. Is this the truth? God is in the business. His will is to transform our lives today to his likeness. Is it not? That's his business. This was part of the work that day in the life of these two disciples to transform their lives. Could anybody ever convince them after that did not happen in their life? They walked with the Lord. Notice what they say. Look at their testimony. And they said one to another. Remember, he's gone now. Did not our heart burn within us? He didn't say, hey, did your heart feel like my heart? They didn't talk this over. This one disciple who's doing the speaking knew what the other one already experienced. He knew they because they were both in the presence of the Savior. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened unto us the scriptures, they were experiencing God, the Spirit of God, in their hearts as they were walking by the way. Has the Holy Spirit changed? Does the Holy Spirit still want to do that in the life of the believer? If not, why read the Word of God if there's nothing there? But the Lord said, we think it's always to the lost. I want you to know, the word of God does not return void either concerning the believer. And it will accomplish that which it was sent forth to do. So watch this. And they rose up, verse 33, the same hour. That amazes me, really, because they walked about five, six miles. And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. He hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking bread. And the last verse right here in verse 36. And as they thus spake, how about that? Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and send unto them, peace be unto you. Now grab this thought, ready? Jesus Christ is the Word. And as Jesus opened up the Word to them, their hearts burned. They received a revelation. They took that Word and shared it with the other disciples. And the Word manifested himself right there. Do you know that God wants to do that in your life and mine today? Because he's not changed. He wants to bless our lives that we might share what God is doing in our lives with fellow believers to encourage them. Where the Spirit of God, could you not feel, remember what they said? Did our hearts not burn within us? Imagine Northwood Baptist Church seeking the Word of God like that. And when visitors come, do you not think God will bless them too? But wait a minute. We want the lost to be saved. But God bears the fruit. Fathom this thought. And we're going to close. Here it is. Ready? Imagine that we would encourage believers to seek the Lord to experience a revelation from God like that, that makes our heart burn and sets us on fire. And as we share those things, that other believers experience that right in the nucleus of Northwood Baptist Church. Do you not think God is going to make us a witness, and the world is going to see and sense the Spirit of God in you, and that's going to draw them? I mentioned, my friend went to church today, and you know what he told me? He said, I would tell you what the whole service, how my sister was telling me. She said, I feel different in here. Now, he's not saved. He needs to be saved. And Brother Ralph Button down in Hollywood, Florida, and she said that the service was different. My sister, who's been there since 2003, said the service was different today. I think that the service was different today here. I think God is wanting to do a work if we'll have it. It's His will. It's His plan. It's His desire to bless our lives if we'll have it. And say, yes, God, I want to experience you like that. Listen, God is contagious. He really is when God is in the forefront. Not us, but when God is in the forefront. And do you not think souls will be saved when that's taking place? And we'll all say, glory be to God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, the power of your resurrection that continues even today, if we'll call upon you and ask you, oh God, open up my eyes and my heart to understand. Bless the invitation. May we call upon you and ask you to do great and mighty things that you've promised to do for your glory and for the betterment of Northwood Baptist Church, that we might be found ready and prepared and serving when you return. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.